Okay, boys, so today's daf is daf Chof Tes. We're holding Chof Ches Amud Beis, roughly 7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. And our back brings us back to our Mishnah on daf Chof Zayin Amud Beis, where the Mishnah we had said that although a number of individuals are considered Kroivim, and therefore they are Psulim the Eidus, however, there are Kroivim that are Nisrachik. How can you have a Kroiv in Nisrachik? A very simple situation where you have a father-in-law and a son-in-law. And what happens if the son-in-law is no longer son-in-law because he gave a divorce, a get to his wife, or because the wife, Rachman al-Islam, passed away? So therefore, the father-in-law and the son-in-law really no longer have any relationship. So everybody agrees, Arzeh Kosher. From this point on, each one can go and be made for the other. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, there could still be an umbilical cord, such a very thin, invisible umbilical cord that connects the Shver and the Edom. What is that case? If it's Mesa Bita, V'yeshloi Bonim Mimena. Harizeh Karev. If the Shver is not just a Shver, but he's also a Zaydi that there are Enikalach from that daughter, even though the daughter Nebuch passed away. Nevertheless, he's still considered to be a Karev of his son-in-law, and the son-in-law is a Karev to him because of those Enikalach. But that's only Rabbi Yehuda holds that way. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah disagrees. He holds they're no longer related. So says our Gemara now, how do we paskin? Chof Ches Amud Beis. A few more pages. Yehuda Omer, Omer of Tanchum, Omer of Tavla, Omer of Bruna, Omer of Halach Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that there is still a connection because of those Eniklach. Rav Omer of Nachman, Ein aloch Rabbi Yehuda. No, we do not follow like Rabbi Yehuda. V'chein omer Rabba bar Barchana, omer Rabbi Yochanan, ein aloch Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, Rabbi Barchana, Rabbi Yochanan, saying that as soon as the connection has been severed, because Chas Hashem, the daughter, has passed away, no longer father-in-law, no longer son-in-law, notwithstanding that there is still Eniklach in the picture. Now, ikad masil aloha the Rabbi Barchana, aha. That last tickle, Rabbi Bachanan, the name of Yoichanan, that ain't a loch Rabbi Yehuda, he wasn't talking about Rabbi Yehuda, he was talking about something similar. What's something similar? Ezudo Rashab Yoisei Aglili, Uvasal Kayhanim, Halvim Yalaf Shoifer Ashia, Biyam Mahaim. This pasuk is telling you that if you have shailas that need to be answered, go to the Kahanim, Levim, Vela Shoifet, and to the judge, Ashia Biyam Mahaim, Vedarashab Yidulacha, Estvara Mishpat, and they'll tell you what the judgment is. In other words, the halacha is. Now, the Lashon HaPasuk seems to be very strange. Hashoifet asher yiyeh b'yom ha'mahein. And the Gemara asks the obvious question. Could somebody today go to a shoifet, to go to Rav Moshe Feinstein's Hatzal, to ask him a shayla? You can look in his svarim, you can speak to his descendants, but you can't speak to Rav Moshe. So what's the pasuk telling you? Shoifer hashegiyah b'yom mehek. Ela zeh shoyikorayv v'nisrachek. It's telling you that there are some people that at one time were not able to ask them a psak din in a bezdin, or you couldn't get from them edus. What's the reason why? Because it was a karev. But now look b'yom mehek. At that moment that you are now looking at the stein is looking at you. If he is going to be the dayan on your bezdin, and the same thing with Gabi the aid, look at that moment in time. Don't look at what happened in the past, don't look in the future, at that moment in time. Is this shoifet related to you? No. And if that's the case, then you're allowed to go and have him as your dayan. So this is the drash of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, which is basically the same as the halacha of the Tanakam of our Mishnah. The Tanakam of our Mishnah didn't bring a source. But Rabbi Yosef Glid does bring a source. And the Tanakam or Mishnah argues with Rabbi Yehuda. So So you have basically the same in both versions. In other words, the first version said, and therefore by default, the halacha is like the Tanakama. And this Ikad Masila says the same thing, that Korevin is Rachik. That's the end of the korvishaft of the relationship, and therefore this shoifet is now eligible and qualified to be your dai. Now the Gemara tells us a real life story. B'nei chamua demar ukva. The children of the Shver of Mar Ukva. So let's think about this. Well, let's see the family structure. You have the Shver of Mar Ukva. The Gemara doesn't identify him by name, but he had at least three children. Two of them were sons, and one was a daughter. So, Baruch Hashem, he married off his daughter to Mar Ukva, and Mar Ukva was a great Dayan who was mentioned in Gemara all the time. Anyway, so we have now three Shvugas, the two brothers, together with Mar Ukva, and they are now the two sons of the Shver of Mar Ukva, as well as there's a daughter in the picture married to Mar Ukva. And guess what happens? Kroim and Esrach Kuhava. They were originally Kroim, they were all Shvugas, and now they're no longer Shvugas. Why not, says Rashi? Shemesa Achoisim, Eishes Mar Ukva. Unfortunately, Mar Ukva became an Ovel. He lost his wife, Rachman al-Slan. He still had the two brothers-in-law, but he no longer had a wife. And the halach is, Korev Shinis Rachik, then is now eligible to be a dayan. So now, Oslaka Meiladina, these two brothers, who had a shiloh with some sort of litigation with somebody else, Mar doesn't go into all of the drama and all of the background, but it says, Oslaka Meiladina, they came in front of their original shvugar, in other words, their previous shvugar, and they said to him, we have a din Torah, we'd like you to go and be the dayan in this din Torah. Omalahu, and he said to them, Basil Nacholadina, I'm sorry, I cannot go and be your dayan. Omalahu, they said to him, my daitach, is it because you hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Now the Gemara doesn't tell us, but the assumption is that there were children involved and they were still around, and therefore couldn't Rabbi Yehuda, then they're all still bound by those children, they still are Kroivim, even though Nebuch, the Mar Ukva's wife, had passed away. Is my daitach like Rabbi Yehuda? You hold like Rabbi Yehuda? These two brothers, the shvogers of Mar Ukva, they said, we have a letter that we received from Eretz Yisrael. The Ein Alach Rabbi Yehuda, we do not paskel like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we are bona fide Kroivim v'nisrachku, and therefore you can be our dayan. Omalahu. So now Marzucha says to them somewhat rhetorically, Otu bekava dekira idbeka bechu. Do you think that as a result of our original marriage, we have now been glued together like being attached with a kava dekira? Kava dekira means a kav of wax. Do you think that we are now glued together, idbakna bechu from Russian devek, we are glued and attached together like wax? Ah, t'loi kamina psil l'chuladina. I didn't say that the reason I don't want to take upon myself this din Torah is because I am puzzled to you and you're puzzled to me because of the continued relationship as a result of these einiklach. Like Rabbi Yehuda said, nah, the reason el mishum d'loi tzas isudina, the reason why I said I'm puzzled is because I know whatever psak din I'm going to issue, if it's going to be in the other party's favor, you're not going to listen to the psak, and you're going to poo-poo it, and you're going to ignore it. Now, what's the reason why? Not necessarily because these are bad guys, but rather because there's such a friendly relationship, they're considered to be like peers, and therefore they probably think, oh, we know as much as Mar Ukva, if not more so. So when Mar Ukva is going to go and paskin against them, they're going to say, my dad, they're going to poo-poo the whole thing.
The knowledge is not because of the relationship or the friendship.
He's saying exactly. In terms of the relationship, that relationship is now severed. In terms of that, I would be allowed to be an aid or a dayan on your behalf or against your behalf. No problem. We're no longer craving. We do not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We are bona fide craving Esrachku. I'm just afraid that you're not going to listen to me. Why? Because we are so friendly and such good terms, you're going to poo-poo whatever I say negative. Mar Ukva, he probably had a bad day. He didn't sleep so well last night. He didn't realize what he was saying. They're not going to listen. So therefore, that's why I figured the best thing is go to another dayan and don't come to me. And we continue on.
Yeah, these were the sons of Mar Ukva's father. Yeah, but his wife's brothers?
For sure. That's exactly how they became shvugas in the first place. Uh-huh. How unfortunately the sister passed away.
So they should have said it would have been easier just to say it's his brothers-in-law.
Through his wife.
Why do they say B'nei Chomu de Mar Ukva?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the Lashon HaGemara.
Okay.
Going on to Gemara.
Which is very interesting. This is the first time somebody brings that in the Karovim, like in English law, if you are subordinate to somebody, if you're a partner or you are an employee, you cannot testify because mm-hmm. you're not going to have a davar. But in the Gemara, it wasn't brought up. It was only blood relatives. This is the first. And
there are other Gemaras that deal with negia. Negia means that a person has a prejudice or an interest in the proceedings, and therefore that's the reason why he's disqualified. We're only talking about Kroyim, but there are other. We have a whole Masechta ahead of us. We'll also find that a person can be nogea be'edus, that he has an interest in the outcome. That's why he is apostle. He cannot be taken. Even yesterday we had a reference to that, because Gemara talked about, can a person be an aid vis-a-vis his arusa? So Gemara said, at least initially, no problem, they're not related, and therefore he could go and be an aid. Said Gemara, that's only to go and take away money from her, but to bring money to her, he's not allowed to. Why? Because he has negia. What's in negia? Because they're eventually going to become nisuim. When they become nisuim, he's going to have an interest that she should have as much money as possible. So even though at the moment they are not related, at least according to the Havimin of the Gemara, and therefore he would be able to go and say testimony against her interest, but he's not allowed to go and say testimony for her interest, because that is to his advantage. He wants to enrich her as much as possible. Anyway, continuing on the Gemara, on to the last line here of the narrow lines, Oyev Ze Shushbina. Back in our Mishnah, we had that also an Oyev and a Oyev, or an Oyev and a Sone, are both also disqualified from being Edim for that individual. Now the question is, how do you define the word oyhev and soinei? So our Mishnah said, oyhev zeh shushbinoi, soinei kosheloi dibar imoi shloishi yomim bi'eva. Okay, so the Gemara now explains each of these terms. Oyhev zeh shushbinoi. Now we had already shushbinoi back in the previous Masechta, that a shushbin is a person who is so close to another individual that the person who's getting married goes and calls him and says, Yankel, please, be a shujbin. A shujbin doesn't mean just someone who's an interferer, the best man that walks down the aisle, but rather it's someone that is going to be the sameach in the simcha of chosim v'kalda for the next 7 days. He's going to join him during that entire 7 day period, and he has to go and give him certain major presents, a present that has to be at least as large as a present that he got when he got married from the other fellow, and now they're just doing chashin legomlin, which he's just returning the favor. The other guy was with him for 7 days, and he gave him a beautiful bash mixer as his present, so he has to do the same, go there for a week, and also give him such a mixture, a mixer or something, at least of equivalent value. Anyway, oyev zeh shushbinoi v'kama. How long is this oyev now disqualified from saying edus? On the surface, sounds like for the mission, perhaps forever, because after all these shushbinoi, can you imagine what a tight friend they have, that he's willing to go and put away all of his business and everything else and come for 7 days and join him? However, that's not the case. Just for those 7 days, he is not qualified or eligible to go and say Eidus. But once he hit day number eight, once he says goodbye, he can go and be made for or against the chosin who to him who is the Shubina. That's Rabba Amar Birmiya. However, Rabba on the Mishmei, the Rabba Amar, Amri Afilim Yoyim Rishon Ve'Eilech. Only the first day when he came for the Chasana, that he traveled from another town, he came here, Dos Eis HaShishbinoi for day one. But starting from day number two and on, even during the other days of the Sheva Brachis, even though he's being feasted and hosted by the Chasan Kala, etc., nevertheless, he is not considered to be such an Oyhev that he is prohibited from saying Eidus. Remember when we say Oyev and Sinai, it's not that we know for certain that the person, because he likes him, that he's going to say Eidus on his behalf. People are considered to have a Cheskes Kashrus, and they're not going to go and just willy-nilly go and say things which are not true. What we're saying is that on the first day, during that day of Chasana, there's such a kinship, they're so close, that therefore, maybe he might go and say something which is favorable, which is not 100% accurate. But once we get to day number two, that Ahava has worn off sufficiently that you can trust him and he can be a full-fledged eight. Now you have a sign is the other way around. Because there was enmity between the two. It's Tanur Rabban. What is the makar for Sinai? It says in the Pasuk. Now this pasuk really has nothing to do with hedus. This pasuk is referring to chas v'shalom someone who kills someone else b'shogeg. Look at number one. Oy b'chol even hashiyom es bob loy ra'ois v'yapal olav hayom ois v'hu loy oyev loy v'loy mavakish ra'asai. Fortunately, he killed someone. It was a total accident. He was chopping wood. He didn't even know the other person that was there. He had nothing against him. That person was walking in the forest, and Nebuch, the tree fell on his head, and Nebuch, he passed away. So what's this double lashon? Rashi already points out that there are other psukim that indicate that the person that is going into Golis had no sin, had no enmity against Nebuch the Nifter. Another pasuk says, "Bahu loy soinei loy." So what do I have to have this pasuk of "Bahu loy oyev loy"? When I'm a vakish asay, come to tell you another halacha. "Bahu loy oyev loy." If he's not his enemy, yidenu. Then he can go and say edus. When I'm a vakish asay, yidinenu. If he doesn't want to say anything bad about this fellow, yidinenu, he could be his dai. So I see that therefore soinei has an issue with edus and with dayanus. How do I know that he's also prohibited to be, he's disqualified or not eligible to go and say edus? Go and read the pasuk. In other words, because oyev and oyev are so similar in pronunciation as well as spelling, so the Gemara holds, at least in the Havamina, that's enough to say, just like you can't say edus if you're an oyev, you can't say edus if you are an oyev. In such a case, Toivasai and Ra'asai obviously are totally different words. You can't go and justify like Oyev and Oyev, but as you'll see in a moment, the Gemara is going to dispel this whole idea of this drasha. Does it say Oyev? It says Oyev. Don't tell me Oyev, Oyev. Shtetach Oyev. Says Imar, you're right. So forget about the drasha. Don't say loy oyev loy. Don't say loy tivasoy. El esvaru is a poshut esvaru. Oyev my time. What's the reason why we don't allow oyev to go and say edus mishum nemrechaka daite? Because his das is distant from that of the litigant, the party that's in court. Oyev nami mekarva daite, which is similar to what Billy was talking about before, that an oyev has a kiruv das, even though there's no, he's not a karev. But the Kiruv Hadas, because of the fact that he loves him, that he's such a good friend of his. So therefore, both the Oyev and Soinei are prohibited from saying Eidus. But remember, the Oyev is only very temporary, only one day or 7 days.
What about the Oyev? That's if he, 3 days. All of a sudden, he reads him, you know, a day later, then all of a sudden it's removed?
It would so appear. That the Gemara doesn't address it, but it would so appear. Once we are no longer darshaning this pasuk, so what do you need What means chad ledayan? That even though the gabi edus, we do not assume that a person who is a soinei is going to know. Our Gemara is telling us that even though the Mishnah used those words of oyev and oyev or oyev and soinei, doesn't clearly identify who is saying it, but the Gemara is assuming it's Rabbi Yehuda that's saying it,
yeah.
And it's just a continuation of what he was saying. Now the Chum say, to go and say a lie in Bezin, based on the fact that he's my good friend, or that he's my soine, they're not going to go and lie. Zokhi Yimara, but that only really applies to Eidus, not necessarily to Dayanus. Because by Dayanus, what we're afraid is not that he's going to purposely go and say something bad about the other guy, but since he is a person that does not like him, says Rashi, Leimatzi Chozaleis Chusa. He considers him to be a bad guy, a degenerate, a nobody, a nothing in all the bad words you can find in the English language. And therefore, if he's going to be a dying, it's going to be very hard for him to conjure up positive thoughts about that individual. Therefore, we say, don't be a dying. So that's what we learn from V'hu Lo Oyev Lo. What about L'mavakash also? Idoch Kedesan Yesh, Omer B'yoyt Reb Yehuda. V'hu Lo Oyev Lo. That on a rabbinic panel, of a bezin of three, thank you, then don't allow for two Talmid Chacham that do not see eye to eye. She'soinim ze ezeh. Now, what does it have to do with the two parties? Why can't you have two Talmid Chacham which are soinim ze ezeh? So Mefarshim explain it's very simple. Because when you have the Dayanim sitting together, they have to deliberate and negotiate, and each one has to go and say his daya. Well, I think that he should be free because of X, Y, and Z. And the other one says, no, I think he's guilty because of A, B, and C. So if you had Dayanim that are friendly with one another, they might try to convince the other one that my position is right and your position is wrong. And therefore, they're going to, in a sense, negotiate between themselves and say, you really, you heard that piece of evidence, and remember there's a tshuva like this, and remember there's a Shach and a Taz, and there's a Magen Avraham, and there's a Torah Shulchan Aruch, and there's a Rambam, and you say, yeah, but you forgot there's a Pnei Yeshua, and there's a Tzlach, and then up. So ultimately, they're hopefully going to come to terms. But if the two hate each other, they're going to go and say, ah, what do you know? I'm a Uratziyo, you don't know that. All the things that you're saying, I knew that before you were born, and forget it. So therefore, if you wanted it to be fair and square, a good a rapport between the Talmid Chacham, between the Dayanim, it has to be that they're not soinei ze ezeh. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah now tells us a little bit about how the courtroom proceedings proceed. So zok the Mishnah. Kein said boitken said. We have two edim that came now. We've already found out that they are not kroivim. We have found out that they are not nogea bedovar. They have no particular allegiance to one side or the other. And now we want to know, let's hear the facts. So you machnis and oyson lechayt. They would bring him into a room, and they would kind of scare them. What scare tactics did they use? The Gemara will address that as soon as we get in the Gemara. The purpose of these scare tactics is to make sure that they're telling the emes v'yatzim and ochem mekayim that they're not telling any baloney, but they're telling us the truth. We send the other people out, and we leave the godel, meaning of the two edim. We ask him, we heard in your preliminary statement that you believe that Reuven owes money to Shimon. How do you know that? Where does that come from? So im omar, if he says, who li shani chayiv loy, if he says, well, you know, just a week ago, this fellow Reuven told me on his own, he said, I want you to know that I owe money to Shimon, I owe him $100. Or, he says, Ishploini amali shehu chayev lai. Or, Reuven said, or Shimon said, that Reuven said to me that he owes $100. Lo yomaklum, all of that is nothing. When does it become real edus? Ad shiyom befaneinu hoidaloi shehu chayev lai masayim zuz. It has to be that both the malva and the loiva were present. And they went and saw that there were two Edom. We're going to say in the Gemara, not only Bifaneinu, us two Edom, but he has to go and say, Atem Edai, you are my Edom. And in front of those two Edom, he said, I, Loiva, owe $100 to the Malva, Shuchayev Lemasayim Zuz, that is considered to be acceptable Edus. So if he says that the Reuven said to me, let's talk about the Malva, that the Malva said, the Loiva owes me $100. Or he says that the Loiva said to me that he owes the Malva $100. That's nothing. It's got to be that the Malva and the Loiva are both present. And they say to the two Edom, yes, Edom, stand here. Listen to my Hoidor. I'm being moited to him that I owe him $200. In such a case, that is good Edom.
Why is it necessary for the Malva to be present, for the Edom to be meaningful? Because
we'll see in the Gemara a couple of svaras. One of the svaras is that Odom Osi Shaloi Lahazbiya Es Atzmai. He doesn't want that the world should go and say about him that he has a huge fortune of money and that he's sitting
he's
on that money.
He's diminishing his wealth to avoid being a target.
Yeah, but sometimes in other Gemaras we learn that they borrow money to show that they have money. When they
spend money, they waste money.
It depends on the individuals and it depends on the scenario. Right. Exactly, 100%. Anyway, so this person doesn't want everybody to say, oh, he is the richest guy in town, and what a miser, he never gives money to tzedakah, never helps anybody, and look what a terrible guy is. This way he wants people to talk about, he owes money to Yankel and to Bel and to Shmuel. That's why he's not such a big bad tzedakah, because he's not that wealthy person that you think he is. He owes money to the banks and to this one and that one. We'll talk about Nigma. So now that the first one is done, now we bring the second one, now we invite him. If we find that they said both the same thing, now this gets leaves the evidentiary part of the proceedings, and now it goes to the Dayanim, and the Dayanim now are Noisim and Noisim. Now they discuss, negotiate, and deliberate among themselves. Okay. Now, after they come up with a Psak, what happens if it's not unanimous? There are three on the dozen. Shnayim Oimrim Zakai, the Echer Oimr Chayiv. It's 2-1 that he is Zakai, then Zakai. The Psak is Zakai. Shnayim Oimrim Chayiv, the Echer Oimr Chayiv. Sorry. Shnayim Oimrim Chayiv, the Echer Oimr Zakai. 2-1 that he is Chayiv, then he is Chayiv. What's the basis of this? So Rashi says, Achri Rabbim Lahatois. It doesn't have to be unanimous, it just has to be a majority. Echon HaMechai, V'Echon HaMezakai. What happens if of the three, one says Chayiv, one says Zakai, or after the Shnayim Mezakai and the Shnayim Mechayivin, or two of them are unanimous, yes, either that he is Zoch, in other words, he's innocent, or Mechayiv that he's guilty. V'Echon HaMechai, the other one says Eidi Dei, I don't know. You know, I'm really going back and forth. The evidence is one way, the other way, I'm not sure. I cannot pass it. So, L'choira, you and I would go and say, fine, so it would be 2-0. Right. We still have the majority. Says the Mishnah, no. Yesifa Dayanim. You have to keep on adding Dayanim, even though had the person said, I disagree with you, it would be 2-1. Sorry, if he says any idea, then he becomes disqualified. Rashi says, it's kimi shlo yoshev bedin. It's as if we started off the whole dentator with just 2 Dayanim. And the entire with 2 Dayanim doesn't work. You have to have
a minimum. Yeah, but it does, according to Shmuel. It's
very good. So I'm glad that you raised that issue, because the kasha that you're asking is the Gemara's kasha daf Hey Amud Beis, where Hey Amud Beis Shmuel said that a bezin chotzov is good, another bezin of 2. The Gemara said, yeah, but our Mishnah says a bezin of 2 might see from Dayanim. Why? Let's go back to Hey Amud Beis, because I see this bothering you.
Yes.
The Gemara here is, where is it on Hey Amud Beis? Gufa Amr Shmuel. It's about 10-12 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Gufa Amr Shmuel, Beishu Donad Dineim Din, Ashenikr Bez Lachatzah, but Bidi Yevet too is Kusha. Yosef Ramachan, Yikom Lash Maitz, Eisei Rav Ramachan. Our Mishnah, for the Shnayim Mezakan, or Shnayim Mechayven, the Echer Oymer Eini Yoydeya, Yosifa Dayanim get new Dayanim. The Eim Isa, the Isa, if you hold, like Shmuel. Okay, so that third Dayan is now disqualified.
Deem him as if he's not there.
Exactly. It should be like 2 without anybody else, and you said that B'diyev, that's kosher. So why do you have to even wait for Dayanim? So Timur Shani Hasan, the Mikara Adaita the Tlosa Yasivi. Since they started off the Bezin as a Bezin, a panel of 3, they have to issue a verdict as a panel of 3, not a panel of 2. Hochab, in our case of Shmuel, Lavadaita to Tlosi Yasivi. They sat down Lechatchila as 2. Shtayim Shadona Dineim Din. So Lechatchila, you shouldn't do something like that. But if that was the panel to start off with as 2, it works, even though it's called a Bezin Chatzav. But if you start off as 3, you have to end off as 3. You can't end off as 2. And once one person says in any idea, it's as if he is transparent, he doesn't exist, and therefore it's only a Bezin of 2. Even Shmuel would agree. That does not work. You have to be Moisef Dayan.
Does it have to do any Yodea, or he could say, I haven't made up my mind?
I think that is the legal equivalent. As long as he's not willing to go and say either Chayiv or Zakai, for whatever reason, he'll say, oh, I have a terrible cold today, I can't really judge this, let's go back in a week from now. He will be disqualified. If it's not a real, we can wait a week. But under all circumstances,
you can't abstain.
You cannot abstain. You have to go and say yes or no. One way or the other. And if not, Yisifa Diyanim. What means Yisifa Diyanim? You have to add a pair of additional Diyanim. And hopefully, of those 2, either the 2 of them are going to say Chayiv or Zakai, or they're going to go and say 1-1. But bottom line is, now we will have at least a panel of 3, and we'll be able to decide from here in front of
us. And if they go 2-2?
If we're going to have 2 and 2 and 2.
The 2 first you said
very
Chayiv.
Good. So what happens now?
You got to keep adding.
You have to keep on adding up to what number?
Up to 71.
Up to 70 or 71, so depending if you hold by commute.
If you add 1, but if you add 2, you're going to have a judgment.
You could theoretically have a Bezin Shochet.
Thank you very much.
And you're going to have, if at the moment we have 2 that say Zakai, and we add 2 more, and they say Chayiv, it'll be 2-2. So we won't have an answer. You have to make another 2 Dayanim. Until we finally come. Remember, over here, you don't have to have a majority of two, because we're not talking about Dina Nefashis, we're only talking about Dina Mominis. So you only need a majority of one. But at the point that you finally get a majority of one, you don't add any more Dayanim, you say, okay, we're done, this is the verdict of the bet.
So one thing I'm curious, this is the mechanics, when they do, do they have to bring the trial all the way to the beginning, or they have three or four Dayanim sitting there standing by, listening without?
I'm assuming that they don't have to start from square one, but it's a good question.
Well, we had a dinner of fashos.
Like today, we had alternates for juries in the court. Yeah, they have alternates that sit there through the whole proceeding.
Good, okay.
And we had a dinner of fashos that the Talmidim would sit there and listen to the deliberations, mm-hmm. and in that case, if they can offer any reasons to acquit, mm-hmm. they would often, with Ben Zakkai, with Uksay Te'enim, right. they'll say, hey, you know what, we're giving you smicha, come on the court, and we're going to impanel you as one of the judges so you can vote for acquittal. Mm-hmm. So it's in the Din Nefasho, certainly, they did that.
That's right. If you recall, we had at the end of the previous parak, we had a machloikis, how many inhabitants or residents do you need for a town to warrant the Din of 23? We had a machloikis with 120 or 230. Then we had one man, the Yom Gemara, that said 277. But what was the reason for the 120? The Gemara said because you start off with your panel of 23, and then you had three rows of future Dayanim who are all Talmidim that want to listen to what's going on, and if we need to add Dayanim, we would add them from those Shurais. How many is that besides the original 23? 3 times 23, another 69, 92 altogether, and then the Gemara add another 10 for 10 Batladim until we got to the Cheshvan 120. So it's absolutely correct. On Din Nefashos, you always have alternate Dayanim, and presumably by a regular Bezin also, they had one or two others sitting in the wings.
The bullpen.
In the bullpen, okay. Just in case they couldn't come up with a final decision because one of the three Dayanim abstained. Anyway, continuing on the Gemara, Gomus Adavar. Now what happens after Baruch Hashem, we have a final verdict. And then they brought everybody back in. He looks at Reuven and Shimon and says, you're innocent, you're guilty. And one of the three Dayanim feels bad for one of the two parties. Remember, we had at the beginning of the parak that one of the ways that they would get the tribunal formed in the first place is Reuven would go and choose Yankov for his Dayan, Shimon would go and choose Beryl for his Dayan, and then either the two Dayanim themselves or the parties would go and appoint a third Dayan. So there obviously there's a certain degree of kinship and friendship between Reuven and Yankel and Shimon and Beryl, not to the point of being an oihev or a soine that he's disqualified, but there's still a little bit. So now Reuven feels bad, or Yankel feels bad for Reuven. After all, he was appointed as the judge. And he says to him, I got to tell you something. The vote was not unanimous. It was 2-1. And I was on your side, you know. I was very much on your side. And I fought for you. And unfortunately, what can I do? I'm only a minority. And I can't go and shoot the guy. So it was 2-1. You know, what you could try to do is try to undo the election and say it wasn't really 2-1. It was 1-2. And the other guys are disqualified. Well, man, we didn't want to do that. Right? Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. He should not say, "Ani mezake." I was on your side. Chaver mechayven av ma'esesh chaver robo lai. What could I do? Was a majority against me? I'll say nemar because that says in the pasuk, "Hoylech rachel megale soid." Don't go and tell soidos. It's not a proper thing to do. Rather, didn't the psak was with the psak and finished. Don't say anything further.
Now, how do you define gadol? Not the tallest, obviously, the senior, the
presumably the older one. We get back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Yes, sir.
That Archbold brings that this third one who was undecided, we had previously,
says
that he could then come in and give an away opinion.
He said, could he or could he not?
He could.
That's what the Archbold says?
Yeah.
Once he gets kicked
out. The Gemara said before that he could not.
It says, although only one judge was unable to reach a decision, two judges are to the court. This is because the judge who is undecided continues to take part in deliberations and may yet reach a decision. Were we to add only one judge, the court would have an even number of judges, as explained in Chapter 1, whatever. A court may not be constituted of an even number of judges.
Right.
And he brings this from Hoshin Mishpat, the beer on gold.
So they keep him on the panel to avoid an even number, but he does, effectively he drops out in terms of his voting. He's just voting.
No, he hasn't dropped out. He could come back in, according to what this note says.
Okay. Oh, thank you. That's very noteworthy. But Lamasu, in the previous Gemara, in previous Perek, when we spoke about Mesifin, we said that he is disqualified. He has no say in the matter at all. But obviously, you'd have to look up those.
Good morning, back to
okay, back to the Gemara. The Gemara is said now about our mission. Ma'ayimin aleim. What is that iyum? Iyum means kind of threaten them or scare them. What is that threatening or scaring moment? You know, we tell them. It says in the pasuk, Nesiyim v'ruach v'geshem oyin, ish mesal b'mata shoker. You think that it's going to pour today. Why do you think it's going to pour? Because you heard that from the weather forecast, and then you looked on your iPhone, and it said, oh, it's going to pour. And not only that, you go outside to see him, there's a bunch of clouds, v'ruach, and it's really windy, and you say, oh, I should have taken my umbrella with me. And guess what? B'geshemayim. At the end of the day, it didn't rain. And you're wondering, how could that be? After all the indications were there that it was going to rain. Because ish mishal l'mata shoker, because there are people that unfortunately are priding themselves with false matones, with false presence. And so therefore, we're telling now the Edom, if you're going to go and testify falsely, there might not be rain as a result, and therefore there won't be parnosa for you and for the ganze Welt, so therefore don't do that. What you're doing has major, major effects, cosmic effects, by going and saying false testimony. Omer Rava says, I don't think that that's going to be a sufficient iyum. Why? Because Yachal Lameimah, the Edom can say, Sheva Shani Havakafna, there was already a period of time that for 7 years there was a famine, a drought in the land. The Abava Umna Loichalif. But to anybody that was a real professional craftsman, he really knew what he was doing, Baruch Hashem Yistalem Parnasa. There are always dry periods where there are a lot of people out of work and don't have any money, but there are always people, Baruch Hashem, that are still managing and still doing fine. So yes, even if I say Sheker, or my neighbors may lose out, but Baruch Hashem, I have a good parnasa, I'm not noitis. Elam Rav. So Rav says, I have a better iyum. What is that? Amrim lehu, we say to him. It says in the pasuk, Mefit, v'cherev, v'cheit shonun, ish oyne b're'eyu eit shoker. If chas shonun, a person is ish oyne b're'eyu eit shoker, if he sells false testimony, then Mefit is a club, cherev is a sword, cheit shonun is a sharp arrow, will chas shonun potentially kill someone that goes and says false testimony. Om Rav Ashi, that sounds like a powerful eon. In our Gemara, notice it says Omer Lei Rav Ashi. The reason why they take out the word Lei,
they didn't live in the same generation.
Why not?
Rav Ashi lived after Rava passed away.
How do you know?
From other Gemaras.
What does it say in the other Gemaras?
I don't remember now.
It says in the Gemaras that when Rava passed away, Rav Ashi was born on that same day. To go and teach you that we never leave the world without a psagotl. So when one passes away, on that same day, if you want, you can look at
it. It's in Sota?
It's in Oisiyud. He brings it from the Gemara in Kiddushin. Okay. What does it say in Kiddushin? B'yoyim shemeis Rav Yehuda noilid Rava. Say, if Rav Yehuda, the day that he passed away, that was noilid Rava. And then there's another one that says, B'yoyim shemeis Rava noilid Rav Ashi. Nothing more. So that being the case, that's why the previous one, when Rav Yehuda said something, Omalei Rava, that would be inappropriate, because Rav Yehuda passed away, and then Rava was born. And so how could Rava be addressing Rav Yehuda? And the same thing with Rav Ashi, that only after Rava passed away was Rav Ashi born. Anyway, you look up his Gemara's over there to talk about the various generations. One passed away, and then the other one was born. So Omer Rav Ashi, Yachal Meimer, Shev Shani Hava Moisna, V'inish Bloi Shane Loi Shochit. So says Rav Ashi, even on the iyum that Rava said, he can say the same thing. Sheva Shani Hava Moisna. I remember there was a plague. Nebuch, people were passing away right and left during for a 7 year period. But young people, Baruch Hashem, they continue to survive, they continue to thrive. It's not as if this plague killed everybody, unfortunately, some, but yeah. Tons of people, Baruch Hashem, did not pass away prematurely. So even that iyum is not so strong. Elam Rav Ashi, the Ma'aymin Olav is a different type of threat. Not a threat that you guys, Chas V'Shalom, something bad will happen, but rather we tell them, the people that hired you to be false Edom consider you to be trash. And they, behind closed doors, they talk about you as if you should go into the trash department unit. Omali, what is that? Elo Omer Rav Ashi, Omali Nosem Bar Marzutra, Amrin Lehu, we say to them, Saadi Shakri, false witnesses are oigrayu zili. Oigrayu means their employers that hire them zili, they denigrate them and they mock them. The Chassidus says in the pasuk, "Veishivu shnayim anoshim bnei Belial negdo v'yedu'u leimor v'rachta elikim v'melech." What is this all about? This is talking about Achav and Izebel. Achav desired to go and take away a vineyard that belonged to Novos HaYisraeli. Novos HaYisraeli did not want to sell it to the king, so Izebel came up with a master plot. And she said to her husband, "I have a good idea. What we can do is get rid of Novos HaYisraeli. But we got to go and do him through the legal structure. So I have a good idea. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go and get two false witnesses to go and be made about Novos HaYisraeli, that he went and he was Mevorech. Mevorech means Chas V'Sholem, to be Mekalel, to curse Chas V'Sholem, and the Kim de Rabbi Yishlan, V'Melech and V'Melech. Therefore, based on the cursing of Kaviyoch de Rabbi Yishlan, and based on cursing the king, now he's a Moir B'Malchus, the court will decide, he goes to death. So notice, what did Izebel say about these two guys? She didn't just say, let's bring in two false to witnesses. She said, B'nei Belial, as Elcha nobody's, Leidegers, Rishuim. Let's bring in two wicked guys to go and be made. So if we tell that to the Edom, hopefully they'll have enough of self-pride and self-esteem. They'll say, that's what they say about us, that we're going to go and testify that we happen to be trash, that we're the lowest of society. I'm not interested. I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to say any shkar. So that's the way Maimaleim, we train them to appreciate their own ego and their own esteem. When does it become good testimony? If the witness says that the malvet and the loiva were present, and they said, "Bifaneinu," in front of me and in front of my co-aid who's outside, who you're going to bring in next, he was minded that he owes him the money. It's not enough that he said, "Bifaneinu hoidaloi." The Loiva and the Malva to first designate us and say, "Yankel Baron, listen carefully. There's going to be a hoidah now, a confession, an acknowledgement. Listen." Oh, you have to say Atam Eidai. It manami Amr Abchiyah Baraba Amr Abiyoychanan. Notice there's a mem, and that mem says that they also said Tzarech Shiyomer Atam Eidai. Skip the parentheses. Tanya Mechachi Haberai from Abraisa. Manali Biyadcha. You owe me money. Amr Lehen, yo, it's true. I owe you money. Lamocha, the next day, no, don't you remember yesterday you said that you owe me the money? Give it to me. I was just laughing at you. In other words, you were bugging me and said, you owe me the money. Yeah, sure, of course I owe you the money. Yeah, it goes without saying. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, now he's not bothering me anymore. And now you're coming back again. Mishatani Bach, you know, I don't have time for all these mishigurim. So I said, yo. But the truth of the matter is, I was just responding in jest. I didn't owe you a penny. Zokti Gemara, if that's what happened, Potter. Based on that alone, he does not have to give him a nickel. Even if the so-called Malve goes and hides Edom in back of the wall, the fence, you owe me $100. Sure. Would you mind going and making this confession in front of Yankel and Beryl? No, not so fast. That if I'm going to say it in front of two Edom, and there were two Edom, but he didn't know about it. They were Hichman, he had hid them. So he asked them, if you were to say it in front of Yankel Beryl, is that okay? Do you mind? No, I do mind, because I'm afraid that Shem Tachmen Ledin, you and they are going to bring me into a Din Torah. I do not want to say anything in front of Edom. Lamacha, the next day, Omoloi told him to Naoli, give me the money. Remember yesterday you said you owe me the money. I was just kidding. Potter, he is Potter, he does not have to pay. The only time he'd have to pay is if you have two Edom there that he agreed, yes, Atam Eidai, and he's Moida. That's a different story. But however, over here he said, no, I don't want to go and say in front of Edom. And then the price ends off into animal Mesis. When it comes to a Mesis, we're not toying on his behalf. A Mesis is a person who tries to provoke and incite Eden to go and do a Voidazar. Frank Timara, Mesim and Chashbe. Who was talking about a Mesis? I mean, he was talking about a loan situation. Your Edom, Nish Edom, did he agree? Not all of a sudden, Mesis comes out of left field. Says Yimoy, you're right. Tichsun Mechsabachi Tani. We have to add a couple words to the Brisa. We start the Brisa again. That first Yankel said to Beryl, Manali Biyad, call you owe me money. And he said, Hey, I owe you the money. The next day, he said, No, don't you remember yesterday you said you owe the money? Pay me today. He answered, Meshat Anibach. Zok gets the Brisa. That's because he said those words, Meshat Anibach. He's pot. Imloitoan. However, if he didn't say Meshat Anibach, but rather he was silent, Ain't Tianaloi, we will not open up his mouth on his behalf. If he didn't say anything, Ain't Tianaloi.
Well, meaning that he is guilty then? He's chayev to pay? We're not pleading for him, so therefore he's chayev?
We're not saying that he's potter. In other words, if you can go and find other reasons, other bases, but Ain't Tianaloi, we're not going to go and open his mouth. If you want to go and say something, Mishat Anibach, say it. But if he didn't say it, then we don't automatically go and say you're potter.
And those two Adam could then convict him to pay the depending on the circumstance. Okay.
Exactly. Who about Din Nefashis? This was of course about Din Mamonis.
Right.
What about Din Nefashis?
One question before we go to Din Nefashis. When you have the two Adam,
yes.
Okay, the guy agrees that the Shimon and Reuben are Adam, right?
But they said after Megdai they're kosher Adam. Correct.
Now is that could the Adam write it and then there's a star and there's
that's
a
an Rach, excellent right? question, and we're gonna discuss that on the Amud Beis in some detail. What happens if there are three people instead of just two? Does that make a difference? Did he make a kinyan? Didn't he make a kinyan? That's all going to be discussed at great length, Bill, on the Amud Beis. Zokti Gemara. So we're still finishing off this brisa because of the Mesis business. When it comes to the Nefashis, if there's any taina of schus that he could have said, but he didn't say, we, the Bezin, are going to go and say it on his behalf, because it's a pasuk, v'shavtu eidah, v'tzilu eidah, we try to do whatever we can to go and help and save someone who's being charged, chas v'sholem, with a capital crime that he might get misa.
Right.
But that's only a regular guy, being trained on the mace. If it's a mace, forget about it. We will not say anything on his behalf. If he wants to say something on his behalf, speak up. Otherwise, we're not trained on the mace. Why Mesis is a special exclusion from everybody else? When it comes to Mesis, don't have Rachmanis, don't try to do a cover up. He has to go and open up his mouth. If he doesn't open his mouth, we're not going to help him in any way, shape, or form.
Mesis and Avodah Zarah?
Mesis is a person that's trying to incite people and instigate people to do Avodah Zarah. How do I know that we don't try to go and be toying on our own? In other words, we don't proactively go and try to give tiny schus for the maces. We learn from that first nochash story with Odom and Chava. The nochash could have saved his soul and his head by making a whole bunch of tanis, harbi tanis. Later on. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't go and give a tain on his behalf because he didn't give a tain on his behalf. What could he have said? After all, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't eat from the eight. I, the Nochash, said, you should eat from the eight. So who's the Rav? Kodesh Baruch Hu. Who's the Talmud? Me. Who should you be listening to? You should listen to the Rav. Don't listen to me. So therefore, it's not my fault. It's your Yetzirah. It's your absent-mindedness, your foolishness. But it wasn't me. So that's one of the things that the Nachash could have said, but he didn't. So Kodesh Baruch Hu also didn't say. Amar Chizkiya, since we got into this issue about the Nachash and Odom and Chava, we go off on just for a short moment. How do you know that sometimes by adding your gereya? What did Rabbi Cohen always say? Yasser kenatul dami. What's kol moisim gereya? And then it says in the pasuk, "Amar lehim leisoich lemenu v'leisigu bay." That the Nochash said to Chava, didn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu say? I'm sorry. Chava said to the Nochash, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Leisoich lemenu, you're not allowed to eat from it. You're not allowed to even go and touch it." So what happened as a result? The Kodesh Baruch Hu had not said, "Don't touch it." He just said, don't eat from it. The Nochash, when he heard those words, gave a shtip to Chava, and Chava touched the tree, and miraculously she did not get electrocuted. And therefore said, now the Nochash to Chava, you said that Hashem said you not even touch it. Look, you touched it, nothing happens, Gurdish. So even if you eat, nothing will happen. And in fact, then she was enticed to eat, and she ate, and then we know what happened as a result. So the point is, had she not added those words, when they say goodbye, she would not have been entrapped by the Nachash, and therefore, Moitzv Gurev. Now we have two other rights from Shasha and Mechacha. Amasayim v'cheitzi orkai. Where does it say Amasayim v'cheitzi orkai?
In
Parshas Truma, the God made the orai. The dimension, the orai were 2.5 oirech, 1.5 roichav, 1.5 kaimasai. So what's the right from Amasayim v'cheitzi orkai? So Rashi says, what happens if you take away the aleph of the word Amasayim? The word Amasayim, of course, means two amis. You take away the aleph, it becomes now Masai. Now, admittedly, says Rashi, we're missing an aleph in between the mem and the tav. The important thing is the way you read it. After all, the numerous creek sieves in the Torah you're missing. Exactly. So that being the case, so what happens if there wouldn't be that aleph? It would be Masai. So what would be then the length? It would be Masai and Vechetzi Arkai. 200.5 would be the oirech. By adding the aleph, we're taking this 200. And we make it only two amis altogether. That being the case, the moisif is goyre. That's how, look at the Rashi, two lines from the bottom. Amasayim, dal aleph mihocha, take away the aleph, kribe mosayim. Havishtei, meoisam will be 200. Kolois shubatayr, havarosam, kichsi vosam. Just like v'asisa v'yamarta, kilu ksuv behe. At the end of the word v'asisa, you're just ending off with a sof, with a komat. You deem it as if there's also a hay after that tuf, so it's v'sisa. V'yamarta, as if there's another tuf, or another hay after the yamarta, and that's the kamatz under the tuf, and then the hay. Kiluksuve, v'chein ata choser, you find the same thing. You find ata and oisa, moli and choser. So here too, the masayim is missing an aleph, but it means 200. So chayvav in the bararai. You started off with masayim, 200. You added the aleph and you made it so much shorter, it shrank from 200 down to 2. That's how Rashi lived. The Marsha says that's a very, very difficult pshat. Why is it difficult pshat? Because if it says Amosayim, it means 2 Amos. If you take away the Aleph, then it just says Mosayim is 200. 200 what? It could be 200 inches, it could be 200 millimeters, it could be 200 centimeters, which might be much less than 2 Amos. 2 Amos is... Sorry?
200 microns.
200 microns.
Yeah, but the other units of the Aron were Amos.
Mm-hmm.
Amavachetzi. So mm-hmm. So how could you now say, I'm asking on the Marsha, how could he say that the units of the width of the Aron are indeterminate? If it's Amos, it's Amos.
The width and the height are, we're going to leave exactly the way they are.
Right,
Amavachetzi. But maybe the Masayim v'chetzi orka, if you took away the Aleph, the Masayim could be Masayim etzbois, Masayim
Tvachim.
Okay. How do you know that it's necessarily that by adding the Aleph, they were moisif, you were goyreya? Maybe out of the Aleph, you made it larger. That otherwise we'd just say Masayim would be Masayim equais millimeters or something. Now by adding the Aleph, oh, it's two big Amas, which are like 4 feet, which is much more. That's Masha. Masha gives an answer. The Vilna Goyin says a different pshat than the Hedig Rashi. What does Vilna Goyin say? That the Rai is not from the Aleph of Amasayim, the Rai is from the Vav of Vochetzi Orkai. Meaning, Amasayim Chetzi Orkai is 2.5. If you take away the Vav, then it becomes Amasayim Chetzi Orkai, which means that the entire length was really 4. By adding the Vav, you are Goyreya. You're taking down from the 4 down to 2.5. That's what it says in Koil Eliyahu. I have the sefer outside. I was going to bring it in, but I forgot. Anyway, so the Goyin says that the Rai is not from the Aleph, but from the Vav. Could have said Amasayim Chetzi Orkai. By adding the Vav, it becomes Amasayim Vachetzi.
The Vav of Vachetzi.
The Vav of Vachetzi. If you take away the Vav of Vachetzi,
200 is Amasayim Chetzi.
Chetzi Orkai. The half of the length is Amasayim. So how much is the whole length?
The Russian is double. Strange.
It's 4.
How much is the whole length then?
Amasayim Chatzi Arko. So it's 400 is then...
No, 4. No, four, 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 four.
Amasayim
no,
is 2 Amas.
Amasayim is Chatzi. Amasayim, right. And then
2 Amas. Amasayim is 2 Amas.
Right. And it's Chatzi.
Chatzi is how much? Is and a half.
And a half.
So how much is 2 plus a half? 2.5.
Yeah.
Good. Take away the Vav.
Yeah.
So now it says Amasayim is Chetzi Arkai, which means half of the length
is only
Amasayim.
It's 4.
And yeah. If it's the entire length, it's 4.
Right. Yeah. So you, okay.
By
so
adding the Vav, you have to cut it down from 4 down to 2.5. Now Barry asked, isn't that a little bit contrived? Do we ever talk about Chetzi Arkai? So in fact, they bring a right to the Vilna Goyim from Parshas Kisisa, where it says in the Pasuk, Uknevoisem machatzisoi chamishim umasoi. Says Rashi, really the entire thing is 500, and the Pasuk is telling you, Machtzis, half of the 500 is 250. Why does the Pasuk talk in those language? Because the Pasuk talks about also the Kinyan Boisim and other spices that we use for the Ktoiris and use for the Levoina, that those were Shi'urim of 250, and therefore it says, Ukenei Boisim was Machtzisai 250, Chamisha Masai, but really the whole thing was 500. So you see in other areas of the Torah, we use half measurements. So here too, it could have said, Amasai Chatzi Arkai, that the whole thing is 4, and 2 is half of it, by the fact that you add the Vav, it reduces from 4 down to 2.5. Rav Ashi Yomar, it says in the Pasuk, Legabe, also the Binyan Mishkan, Ashti Esra Yerioys. How much is Ashti Esra?
12.
How much is Ashti Esra?
11.
If you take away the ayin, it becomes Shtei Esrei. How much is that?
12.
That's 12. So by adding the ayin, you have now reduced it from 12 to 11.
We'll see if we can go
ahead. Yeah, everybody, the art school agrees it's 11. Ashti Esrei.
Yeah.
Amrabai. So now we have gotten, we just went off on a tangent because of Nochash HaKadmoni. Now we come back to Argumar. Amrabai. Lo Yishanu El Yom Mishatani Bach. When he says the next day that I was being Mishat to you, when I said, on Sunday I said hen. Yes, Monday biyad I said hen. Then on Monday I said mishatani bach. Then he's talking potter. But what Avraham Amar, if he said the next day, it's not true, I never said anything. Then huchse kafran. Then unfortunately he gets a chazak of being a kafir. In other words, he's a liar. Because yesterday you said yes, and today you're saying lehoyed dvarma. If you would say I was just joking, that's okay. But if he says the whole thing is a bubabas and never started, then he's a shakr. However, Rabbi Breid of Acha Marad, Hachi Amri Mishmei Derava, no, Kol Mila Dechti Lo Dechiri Inchi. It could very well be that yesterday's conversation was just a momentary conversation. He goes by and he says, "You owe me $100. Ah, Mishigana. Yes, I owe you. Yeah, of course, I owe you $100." And then the next day, he said, "Remember, you said yesterday that I owe you $100. What are you talking about? I don't remember a word. Ah, Leidvar Ma'olam, you're just making this up." Says Mishmei Derabba Kamil Dachti, things which are kind of nonsense, small ticket items, petty cash. Leidachiri and a lot of people they don't remember. You know, I remember the big stuff, but the minutia I don't remember. So that's he's not Chuchse Kafran after all. Now the Gemara tells us about two stories back to back. The stories are almost the same. Huda Achman Leid Mechavrei Bekiltze. Reuven took Shimon into a large bedroom, and he hid two Edom there in the kila, in the curtains which were around a bed. And Omalais, and now Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $100. Omalehan Yavade owe you $100. So now Reuven says to Shimon, tell me, Omar, Iri Vishikhvi Lihavi Aloch Sadi, anybody in this room that's either awake or people that are sleeping, do you agree that they should be Edom? Obviously, his kavana was that those guys in the kila, in the kiltza, that they should be the Edom. No, I'm not masking to any Edom. Forget it. Between me and you, yes, but not in front of Edom. Rav Kahana said, no. He said, no. So you have no way out of it. In other words, you do not have Edom. Even though two people heard, he said, hey, that's worthless. And similarly, Hud Achman Edom Mekivra Lechavre. They were both walking in a Beis HaChaim, in a cemetery, and he hid two Edom next to one of the graves. It was a very large matzeva. They're hiding behind the matzeva, and he says, "Omli manu miyacha, you owe me $100." I'm like, "Of course, I owe you $100." Sure. So now we ask him, "Chayu meisi lehevi aloch sadi? Anybody here in this cemetery who's alive or dead? Are you in agreement that they should be Edom?" I'm like, "No, I'm not in agreement. I don't." Again, Amrav Shimon, "Omli lei." So why am I bringing these two stories? Amrav Inam, same Rav Papa Shema mina miha. I learned from these two stories. Hodi Amrav Yuda Amrav Tzorch Shiyomer Atem Eidai. That we said back in the Amud Aleph that when you have such a Malve Loive situation, when does it become binding? If he says Atem Eidai, no, who is saying Atem Eidai? Lo Yishna Ki Amal Loive. Not only in the case where the Loive says yes, I am being Moda in front of you to Edom. I appoint you as Edom. Yes, I owe him $100. Lo Yishna Ki Amar Malve Vishosik Loive. And even if the Malv is the one that says, Loive, I want you to go and say in front of these two Edom that you owe me $100. And the Loive says, I owe you $100. But he didn't say anything about the Edom. He didn't say, Atem Edai, and I would just shasik. Then what do I say? That is the legal equivalent as if he would have said, Bepem Malay Atem Edai. It's like a shtika kohaida. Why? Because those two stories, Tamdi Amaloiva, Loi. both in the case of the bedroom and the case of the cemetery, he said, no, I don't want these to be Edom. I'll be Shasik. If the first person said to him, anybody in this bedroom that happens to be up or sleeping, or anybody in the cemetery who is living or dead, do you agree? If you had been Shasik, it would have been a real appointment of two Edom, even though it wasn't an express appointment. His shtika would be a shtika kaidah, and it would have been enough for the atam edai.
Silent majority.
A silent majority, very good.
What's the difference if someone steals from someone else, they didn't see it, in the chayvim? Here too, the shasmaisa, they saw it.
No, that's for sure.
And that's what she said. It wasn't a crime,
it was a consensual conversation. Oh. So in a consensual conversation, you need the consent of both parties. In a crime, you can never get the consent of the criminal to appoint witnesses. Yes, and you're the witnesses that I committed the crime.
Very good. Ezokim, what about you? And in each one of these cases, you always have the svar of Meshatani Bach. The reason why he said yes is because I wanted to get you off my head. You should stop calling me on the telephone. He calls me 85 times a day. I can't take it anymore. So I say, yo. The next day he's calls again. No, you said yo. I even have a tape that you said yo. Meshatani Bach, I just want to get you off my nerves, off my head. Right. Oh, my Zutimo, yeah. Who da have a kori lei kav rushu? It was a person that had a reputation in town that he had a kav of Roshu, of Shtoris on his head. Rashi says, Kav Roshu, Maloi Kav Shtoris, Yesh Olav. Everybody knew, tons and tons of Shtoris. And so therefore he owes a lot of money to a lot of people. Presumably nobody wanted to lend him any more money. So that's why he's called Kav Roshu. Omar. So then he said one day in front of other people, Man Masik Bi, you're telling me that I owe tons of money. It's not true. I only owe Eli Pliny and Pliny. All my other debts are paid in full. I took care of all my Con Edison bills and all of my Verizon bills and my AT&T and all my paid the rent and I paid my maintenance. I paid the grocer. The only guys that I owe are Pliny and Pliny. So guess what happened? So now the Pliny and Pliny, they heard this. They come the next day in front of Rav Nachman. Let's have a din Torah. He made a confession. We discussed this already earlier, that this person presumably was in fact totally naki. He had paid off all the chayvus. He was afraid that he's going to have now an ayin hara about him, that people are going to say, ooh, can you imagine what a turnaround? This kav rosha has now become a big osher. We should now stand in line to go and try to get tzedakah from him for this and for that and for that and for this. So, Rashi, he shouldn't get a reputation that he is so wealthy, he's a billionaire. No, that he doesn't want everybody to go and think of him. It'd be an einhar. So tomorrow, now we have a similar situation. People call him the mouse that is sitting on a pile of dough, meaning he's a greiser oisher. And just like a mouse doesn't share his ashiris with anybody, this guy is a miser and this guy is stingy. He never gives a penny for tzedakah. He's an achbar d'shachav b'dinim. Kiko shachav, as he's about to pass on, Omar, he said about himself, Planya, masku bizuzi. You should know, I owe money. Everybody thinks I'm this really wealthy individual and I'm achbar d'shachav b'dinim. I'm not as wealthy as you think I am. Planya, are owed money by me. I owe him $1,000, I owe him $1,000,000, I owe them a lot of money. Okay, so now Planya heard about this, Pasa Shachiv, after the Achbar passed away. Also, to Vinil Yarshim, so then now they took the Yarshim to the Torah. We heard, in fact, a whole bunch of Edom that said, yes, we heard, but the money, the Planya, I owe the money, and we want to collect. So, Asla Kamad, Bishmo, Rabbi Yoisi, Omlehu, Ki Amrinan, when did Rav Nachman say, Odom Asi Shliaz B'yes Atzmei Hanimim L'chai? When the person is alive. Avla Achamisa, the person is about to pass on. Lohai. Then we don't say that. Why would a person be concerned about Shliaz B'yes Atzmei? The whole thing is being an Ayin Hara, that people shouldn't go and say, oh, he's such a wealthy man, da, da, da. He's about to pass on. He's not worried about these
things. Maybe he doesn't want his Yorshim.
That's the next piece of the Gemara.
It's not considered to be a Shlima.
Everybody, we're soon going to call the Chevra Kedisha, we're soon going to have Levaya. In the meantime, he's still alive and he says, I owe money to Planya Planya, and now the Planya Planya now come into Bezdin in front of Rishmo Rabbi Yossi, and they say, we have a recording and we have 12 people that heard that Planya Planya, we want to go and get money from the Yarshim. So now somebody said, well, maybe that he said that Shkadesh Loy Lazbias Atzmoy. Said Rishwab Rabbi Yoisi, Hani Mil Mechaim, that you go and say about a person who's going to continue to live. And therefore he says, Shloy Lazbias Atzmoy. Avli Achamisa, he's about to die. It's 1 minute before he passed away. And Itaka passed away a minute later. So then he's not worried about Shloy Lazbias Atzmoy. And therefore, Avli Achamisa, Loy. As a result of this Psak, Rishwab said the Yorshim, we still have a CD that has to go and mature. In the meantime, paru palga, we pay half of the money. Half of the money to the planyan, to the planyan. Tovidnyu lidina li'idach palga. So, a day later, a week later, they come, what about the other half? This time they didn't come in front of Reb Shmuel, Reb Yoisi, os l'kami d'Reb Chia. Om alahu, so Reb Chia said, now like Reb Nachman said before, kishem sha'odim osir shalei esbihes atzmoy, kachodim osir shalei esbihes bonav. He's concerned about his kids. Just like he's worried about an ayin hara for himself, everybody in town is going to go and say, ah, the wealthy guy, the blah, 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 blah. They're going to go and say about the kids, about the wealth. So that's why he said, I owe money to Yankov, the barrel. But really, it's not true. It's Adam Osish, as Banav as well. Ah, so once the Yarshim heard that, so now they started to have pangs of guilt and regret. Why did we go and pay the first half? Omrelay, Nezvan Heather, maybe based on your Psak Rav Chia, we can get the money back that we already paid them that first half. Louis said, Kvar Hoyerzak, and I'm sorry, since you went in front of Rishmol Rabbi Yoisi, and you paid based on that psak, I can't reverse his psak. But on the second half, there's no Rishmol Rabbi Yoisi here, you didn't go in front of him, you came in front of me. On the second half, I'm telling you, you do not have to go and pay, because Odom also Yishloi Lazbiya as part. So they paid 50%, but they didn't have to pay the second 50%. Now, this we get back to Bill's question about half an hour ago. Hoyde b'fnei shnayim, he was talking moid in front of two, the Konamiyode, and there was also a Kinyan, Koisvin, and those two people don't even have to ask the Loive, they can write it down on a piece of paper. The Amlav, if however there was no Kinyan, and it was only Bifnei Shnayim, ain't Koisvin, and you can't go and write it down. Bifnei Shloisha, the Konamiyode, what happens if there were three, and there was no Kinyan? By two, we said no Kinyan, ain't Koisvin. If it's in front of three, the Konamiyode, what's the din now? Rav Omar Koisvin, once is a panel of three, they have the status like a Bezin. Bezin can hefker, Bezin hefker, they can do whatever they want, so they can Koisvin, they can owe and write down a shtar. Rav Asi Omar and Koisvin, even in the case of three, you cannot go and write. So now we have machlokes between Rav and Rav Asi. Hava Uvdi, there was taka such a case where somebody was moide in front of three, but there was no kinyan. Choshlo Rav, the hod Rav Asi, even though Rav personally held, yes, you three Dayanim can go and write it all down. No, since Rav Asi said no, he didn't want to argue with Rav Asi, he said, Engkoy.
But he didn't accept them to be Dayanim.
Well, now we're going to talk about that too. Bill, you are on top of every pointing mark. We are nervous that Arya was leaving. Who's going to give us all the pointers? Bill, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Omer Vada Barhaba. Ho'idisa zimna kosvinim zimna kosvinim. Sometimes you do write it down, sometimes you don't write it down. What is that talking about? Knif viyasvi. If the three happens to have been sitting around talking Torah, they're going over the daf, they're going over at Oisvis, they're discussing at Tshuva, etc. They happen to be sitting there. And now the two, the Malv and the Loiv, appear in front of them. In such a case, Loikosvinan, we do not allow them to go and write it because they were not commissioned to be a Bezin. It's a casual Bezin. However, Konfinuv, Iyu, if however, Reuven says to Shimon, before you make your Ido, wait 1 second, let's call over the three rabbis. He gathered them, then Kosvinan, then you can, because he established them as a Bezin. He said, come on over. Rabbi said, even that's not enough. Rabbi Mafila Konfinuv, Iyu, Loi Kosvinan. Ariel, Zagifin, Tanslach Rabbi. Have a nice trip. We look forward to your being back.
Send us a postcard, please.
You'll be away next week, and you'll be back Sunday the week after?
You. Dating yourself.
Okay. Yeah,
barring any unfortunate circumstances.
Yes, of course.
When are you back?
You're going for 10 days.
He's going for the rest of this week and next week. And hopefully he'll be back here soon.
Are you staying for Shabbos?
Two Shabboses, no?
Are you going for the second Shabbos, too? You with two Shabbos in the Neres as well?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so Matzah Shabbos, you're traveling back?
Yeah.
So okay. Either to Brooklyn or to here, and if to here you mentioned you'll be here, and if you're in Brooklyn you'll dominate.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn.
Probably, because
I don't
want
to commit to,
I understand.
You don't have to even be at UC?
No, because I am totally committed to attending Sunday's morning quorum in Brooklyn.
Together with your father, to Mekayim Kibbut Av, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Keep it up for many years.
Sorry, please accept my humblest apologies.
So all Brother Shai is saying, just in case there's an unexpected occurrence that you come here to Manhattan, then hopefully you'll join us.
Yeah, it would have to be something very unexpected and unforseen.
Even if he was the one that gathered the three together, even then, like Kasvin, until he tells them, this makes it proper and premature. And it has to be so formal, like a regular formal Bezdin proceeding. What is that? That the Malva goes into Bezdin and says, I want to go and summon the Leiden to Bezdin. So the Kavi Duchta, we go and establish a place where the Bezdin is going to sit. Vishalchi, and they go and send a messenger, Mazamnile, the Beidina, we send them with a summons with a Shlir Bezdin to go and summon the other guy to Bezdin. Then in that case, you have now, this is a real Bezdin proceeding.
Hold on, but didn't we say that the Lova gets to pick one of the Dayanim? Who are these three judges who are summoning, who are subpoenaing the Lova, the accused Lova, if the Lova himself is going to pick one of the judges who are going to be impaneled?
And what happens if he refuses? He says, I don't want to have any part of this. So then we have an established Bezdin. Exactly. Okay, so until now, we spoke about convening the Bezdin. Now we're talking about the form of Hoida'ah, as well as what was the Hoida'ah related to. It was related to Metalklin, which for our purposes includes cash, as well as what happens if we're talking about kak. So hoidim metalkli, v'konam yodoi, if there was hoidor regarding metalkin, and they made a kinyan, then koisvin, then you can go and write. V'yamlav, however, if there was no kinyan, ain't koisvin. V'mekarkoi, v'likonam yodoi mai, what happened to mekarka, and they did not make a kinyan, what's it then? Ameim omer, ain't koisvin. Also ain't koisvin, no kinyan, just like metalkin, ain't koisvin. Ma'azutrom a koisvin. V'ilchas a koisvin. Why is karka different than metalkin? We're going to see the Gemara in another moment, but Rashi already points out at this point, because karka is fundamentally different than metalklin, the loy mechuser guvaina. Everybody knows where the karka is. It's not something that you have to go and try to go and find the FBI, the CIA, or the Mossad to go and identify where the karka is. The karka is here. Karka, you can't go and move the karka. It's not mobile. Therefore, once there was a confession where he said, I am moida, even though it was like kind of miyadai, you can go and write it down, you have nothing to worry about. But Ravina Ikla the Damharia, Ravina came to the town of Damharia, Omle Ravdimi Baravuna, Mei Damharia. Liravina, Ravdimi Baravuna, who was a local resident of Damharia, asked Ravina, Metalkli v'sno b'enayumai, what happens if the Metalkli are here present? We see that. Does that give it a din just like Karka or not? Omle kimar kokoi domi. Ravashi Omar, kim the Mechasri guvain loy. He's saying that even though they are currently present, until you get your hands on them, they're here today, but it could be away tomorrow. You can FedEx it all the way to China, and you're not going to have it. But you can't do that for the karka. So the fundamental difference between karka and metalka, even the metalka is here. Says he was Odisa. The Odisa means somebody was moida, haido. They have a kosuba. So now we're writing a shtar Odisa. Typically, when they wrote a shtar Odisa, it had a kind of a background text, just like we had by the Shtar Shchimra, could have a kotzir barami ba'arse, the person Nebuchadnezzar was sick, lying in his deathbed. So similarly, lahavdul, by Shtar Hoidah, they also used to go and write. What would they write? Or malana, the loive told us, kismu v'chismu v'havalei. You can write and you can sign and you can hand over this document. Based on that, that's why we wrote it and we signed it with that caption or with that initial introductory statement. So here, it was Ishtar Udisa, but they left out that sentence. They didn't say, so the question is that a kosher shtar? Is it not a kosher shtar? There's nothing to worry about. It's a kosher shtar. It's like Rish Lakish, Yom Rish Lakish, Chazaka, Einam Kois on the shtar. It should say Big Gadol, which means that if anybody says that perhaps the one that commissioned this shtar was a katan, he wasn't bar mitzvah yet. So now, normally a 12 and a half doesn't engage in transactions. However, it could be that this person was a tsarist, and a tsarist, therefore, until the age of 20, unless he got shtei tsarist, and if he doesn't get shtei tsarist, sometimes until roiv shnoisav, a person could be deemed a cotton for later in his life. Anyway, Rish Lakish said, you don't have to worry about these things. If you have eidim signed, two normal kosher eidim, they have enough sense, and they have enough background, they have enough chachma, then they're not going to go and write out a shtar and sign it, unless it was nasa begot. So here too, the fact that they went and wrote this document, even though they left out Amalana Kisva Chisva Vavalei, you don't have to worry about it. It's a squish. Master of Papa, you say, Rafuna Breda, sure. Me Ikamini Danam Yadina, the Safi de Beidina Yadi. What you're assuming is that everybody knows this halacha about that if you only have two, and Leikonomi Yodoi ain't Koisvin. You only have two people, and there was no Kenyan, ain't Koisvin. You're assuming that everybody knows that. So that therefore, since they signed this document, it must be that they knew that there was a Kenyan made, and even though there are only two people, two with a Kenyan is Koisin. You can be Koisin. So you can assume that it was all done properly. So says Nara Papi Ravun Yadina, if you were to go and ask among the rank and file Tamidi Chachamim, not everybody knows this particular nuance that if there was an Odisa, Haida, in front of two, and there was no Kenyan, then you cannot go and write a document until the other one says, yes, yes, you can go and write. Not everybody knows that. So, yes, they happen to be two kosher eidim, and they meant well, but maybe they didn't know that you cannot write a document without a Kenyan. Is it, mi'ikamidi da'anan le'edina v'safdi v'edina yadi, and you think the Sofrim and the eidim, they know? Says, yimor shalino l'safdi v'ayi v'yadi, l'safdi rov v'yadi. In fact, even though many Talmid Chacham don't know this particular nuance, but the Sofrim, they know their business, and they know that the only time you can go and start writing documents and having them signed is only in a case if you have an Odisa, only if there are two, plus a Kenyan. Two without a Kenyan, you cannot go and write unless the person says Ksoivu. So the fact that this was written, you can assume that this was done properly al pi halacha.
How do we switch from talking about Bezdin writing to now witnesses writing? There was like a shift in the Gemara here to...
Because the assumption is that people in the good old days did not have schooling and therefore were not able to go and write. The only people that were able to write were Sofrim. They knew the text and how to write and when to write and where it's kosher, where it's not kosher, and you need two, you need three, you need a Kenyan, you don't need a Kenyan. Those are the writers, and the other people went after the Sofrim wrote it, the Edom side.